Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Level Up Human, the comedy science podcast, souping up the Homo sapien.
Hello and welcome to Level Up Human, the show that looks at the human race and tries to figure out how to make it better, racier. We're taking suggestions from our panel, the audience here at the Black Box Theatre as part of Northern Ireland Science Festival and the natural world to try and work out what the next stage in our evolution should be. For example, do we need an extra foot? Or for listeners in the continent, an extra 30.5 centimetres? Tonight I'm joined by three uppity arrangements of carbon in the form of our guests. Immediately on my right here, making pitches for what should be in our next stage of humanity, we've got Shane McKee. Shane is a clinical geneticist at the Belfast City Hospital. Shane, can you tell us about the 100,000 genomes project that you're involved in?
Well, we're starting with 100,000 and seeing if we can go on, but the 100,000 is not really a very big number. 6 billion is a big number, and 6 billion, if you include 3 billion from your mother and 3 billion from your father, is the number of nucleotides that are in your DNA, the number of units of inheritance, effectively, that are passed on from parent to child. In each generation. So what we're trying to do with the 100,000 Genomes Project, which is a big thing run by the English, but we're kind of trying to pitch on to the end of it if we can, is to find out what the causes are of genetic disease and, in fact, disease in general. So what are the actual factors within our DNA that make us more susceptible or less susceptible to certain forms of disease, and then we'll try and cure them.
Okay, from that, we're also joined in the far right. We've got Trina O'Connell, who's recently completed her PhD in glycobiology and microfluidics at Dublin City University. Microfluids, is that what students are calling shots these days?
They're actually macro because they can be measured in centimetres. Microfluids is what they want to give you at the bar, but they're not legally allowed.
So if you've been shortchanged... Then
there's legal measures that they have to...
I'm just imagining you now with some sambuca and a pipette.
It'd be very cheap night, very cheap.
Perfect. So they're going to be pitching ideas for what they want to see in the next stage of humanity. And judging us is going to be a comedian and Rubik's Cube enthusiast, Matthew Collins. Rubik's Cube enthusiast sounds like the world's strangest euphemism, doesn't it?
Well, you know, the longer you play with it, the harder it gets. So I've got nimble fingers and I really know my way around a box, but...
Are you really good at picking stickers off things?
Nah, you see, that's cheating. That is genuinely cheating. No, I genuinely, I want to do it properly. I have one at the... I'm not going to do it here. This is audio, but I did.
Just fake it. Make clicking noises.
I actually have a Braille one that you don't have to be able to see, so it would actually be... No, that doesn't work that way, does it? But I have one with little raised bumps on it, so you can do it without looking at it. It's the latest addition to my collection. I absolutely love it.
As well as being a comedian, you work in...
I work in Queen's University Belfast as a lecturer in computer science as well.
Okay, is that funny?
It can be, but no.
Well, okay, they're going to be giving us suggestions, and we'll also be getting ones from our audience here at the Black Box Theatre as part of Northern Ireland Science Festival. Give yourselves a round of applause and a warm welcome. To try and show us the things that are actually happening in the world at this very minute in terms of the advances of science, our panel here has brought along some news stories. So, starting with you, Trina, what's grabbed your eye?
So as a glycobiologist, which means I study sugar, I'm very interested in the latest trends in xenotransplantation and in particularly in what they're doing to pigs to make them a lot more compatible with humans.
What's a xenotransplant?
A xenotransplant is when you take an organ from an animal that's not human and you transplant it in. Now, it's hard enough to transplant an organ from a human into another human, so there's even more obstacles when you go from animals to human. And one of the main obstacles is actually animals have a different sugar on the surface of their cells to us. So us and the primates were missing this thing called alpha-1-3-galactose. But
is this like honey-baked ham?
Honey-baked ham contains it. And you could get really unlucky, actually. There's a thing called a red meat allergy, where you get bitten by a tick somewhere in North America that's eaten a deer recently, or eaten the blood of a deer. And now
that's
you become
a big tick, actually.
A big tick. Yeah. And now you become immunised against the sugar in the deer, which is in all red meat, and you can never again eat a beef burger.
No.
Isn't that horrific? So these
pigs, your body rejects it?
Yeah, no, you start to feel really sick and kind of unwell. And the other thing that really interests me about the xenotransplantation is if you were allowed to eat research animals, we could give it to these people with the allergies. But more importantly, because you know the way David Cameron is the gift that keeps on giving? Austerity, pig jokes, things like that. They've also recently did this massive record-breaking inactivation of 62 porcine endogenous retroviruses. So these are viruses encoded in the DNA of the pigs that could potentially come back out and infect the person who got the pig transplant. But they're abbreviated to PERVs. So thanks, David Cameron, for austerity and all sorts of wonderful porcine-related...
But would you be then saying that there's a possibility of these pig viruses entering the human disease pool...
In principle.
...through interaction with these animals in an uncooked state?
In principle, David Cameron should have caught something. No, the idea... Well, the idea is that these viruses tend to jump. Like, if they're sitting in a genome and all of a sudden, one day they get activated... And pig viruses tend to be very similar to human viruses. We tend to catch them. So the one that you'll all know are kind of, you know, the bird flu. The big fear with bird flu was that it gets into pigs. And when it gets into pigs, it changes enough to be like human flu. Like, we're way too close to pigs. Like, just as a concept, you know. We eat them. We live with them. Sorry, my beloved. And I don't know. I think having them for hearts could be interesting as a stopgap measure, but we have to do so many changes, like knocking out these sugars and the pervs. We have to get rid of pervs.
Your pitch is we have to get rid of pervs.
We have to get rid of pervs.
Can you clarify this for me? Because you're saying it's all down to sugar.
Some of it's down to sugar. There's actually loads of changes that have to be made. The main change I'm interested in is knocking out the sugar so that you can put the animal heart into a human or even a primate. Like, they've done studies where they've knocked out the sugar and they've put kidneys into baboons for up to 200 days working, which is massive. Like, imagine if you were stuck for a kidney and you could just take one for 100 days until someone got run over by a bus. Or, you know, like, they've got another one where a baboon heart was put into, or a pig heart without the sugars was put into a baboon for like 2 years, a bit over two years.
A stopgap is a good thing.
But actually, as a stopgap, it's even pretty handy because sometimes you're not ready for the transplant, but someone's been run over by a bus. Or you weren't ready for the transplant, but someone hasn't been run over by a bus. Now, we could increase the number of bus services, but again, David Cameron has put an end to that one.
Can pigs get diabetes? And can you take the sugar out? Does that help? Sorry.
I don't know. There's a lot of work to get the insulin-generating cells out of pigs into humans as well. You wrap them in a kind of protective bubble so your immune system doesn't see these pig cells.
Some forms of insulin are pig-derived.
Yeah, no. And people become allergic to them with time, which is a bit of a pain, to be honest, because then you have to switch to a different type of insulin or you just have to die. So I'm not sure. I would guess pigs could get diabetes, but we tend to be pretty controlling in what we feed them because we don't want to conform to the stereotypes of fat pigs. So we take care of them in agricultural...
We just put the sugar on the bacon afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Honey roast ham, man.
Okay, so you're saying that we have to... I'm trying to articulate this in a sentence. We're going to make pigs less sugary.
Less sugary and less pervy.
Less... Wow. And less pervy. I find this lovely. I think xenotransplants is a fantastic idea. It sounds amazing because actually, why bother with the organs that we already have? Why not just get some of the other cool stuff? Like, why not, I don't know, a trotter here and there?
You see, trotters are something that you boil and you the outside's off them. I'm not sure.
No, but like, do you know what I mean? So, like, there's, you know, we could just, we're talking about, say, grafting on wings then. Like, there's going to be other abilities we could take. Not from pigs. Pigs don't fly, as we well know.
Do you know what? But gills would be deadly, because the amount of times I swallow my own dribble down the wrong way, gills would sort me right out.
That'd be a source of oxygen.
It would.
This is going to take French kissing to a whole new extreme.
I'm telling you, you'll be able to breathe all, and even if you've got a head cut, you'd be, oh man. Right, forget the pigs, we're getting gills.
So, pigs less sugary to allow us stopgap organs. That's a fantastic idea. Shane, what has caught your eye in the news this week?
Well, it was very hard to not be grabbed by the testicles that were in the news relatively recently. There are apparently, according to scientists in Oxford, one of whom I know, he's found out that there are these mutant sperm factories that are hijacking men's testicles as they get older and making the little sperm bend to their will. And this actually is important for human beings because there's a certain class of genetic disorders, gene diseases, which are called the FGFR growth disorder, skeletal dysplasias that are due to this fibroblast growth factor receptor that are caused by mutations that are typically passed on by males, but more of them get passed on the older you get, and these cells inside the testes are reproducing at a faster rate than the normal ones. So as you get older, your testicles become more and more colonised with these mutant cells that then have this higher risk of passing on genetic diseases, and that's quite scary.
Do we know of any way of solving it? Because, like, surely one of the best things about having testicles is that you have two of them, surely. And guys actually make their sperm fresh, whereas ladies are born with theirs. Like, one of my favourite facts is always that each and every one of us was at some point inside our grandmother. Because whenever our mothers had their eggs and they were inside the womb, they were inside our granny. So they've had those for all that time, where sperm are made fresh. So is there any way we can shut down these mutant factories?
There's actually a really, really easy way, and that's to get young men to donate the sperm, put it in the bank, and then whenever they grow old and wise like ourselves and decide that they're going to have babies like Simon here, the idea would be that you would go to the freezer and you'd take out
your own.
Your own, yeah.
So
yeah.
We can start hassling you about the biological clock as well.
Pretty much, yeah.
Tick, tock. Oh, yeah. My.
I feel all uncomfortable now.
No, I do actually wonder about that, actually, because, again, my friends were always saying to me that, you know, guys are lucky they have no biological clock, and we do, because it's the person we're with, you know.
It's real interesting, because I've talked to a lot of women in their kind of early 30s who've had their GP mention to them, have you considered freezing your eggs?
But we should be freezing sperm as well.
But you should be freezing your sperm as well, which is a little less invasive now, let's be honest.
Iceland is going to be a very different supermarket in the future. What's caught your eye? What have you seen, Matthew?
Yeah, well, the article that I dug out was it was a summary article on weird and interesting people. The headline was just, "Do superhumans really exist?" And it was looking at people who have strange and wonderful abilities. And a few jumped out at me, but it even gave them special names. So there's a guy, a Dutch guy called Wim Hof, and he's called the Iceman. And apparently through special breathing techniques and meditation, he can control his core body temperature, and he can swim in, like, really, really icy cold water and not get cold.
Like anyone who grew up on the Atlantic coast?
Yeah, pretty much. But he actually holds like 20 world records for extreme cold weather stuff, and he's climbed Everest in just shorts. Wow. And also, so he's an interesting guy, but it's more that they give him this superhero name, the Iceman.
Can he have the first lick of an ice cream without wincing?
Ah, no brain freeze. There's a question. But the one that really spoke to me on that article was there's another guy, a guy called Daniel Kish, and he's blind. He lost his eyes to cancer at a young age, and they call him the Batman. And I don't think that's right. He's because he didn't lose his parents, but he
that's a very niche joke, actually. You know that.
He's more like the Daredevil, actually. The Daredevil, for those of you who don't know, he was in a bit of resurgence there in Netflix there recently. Daredevil, Matt Murdock, who as a child, a comic book superhero, but as a child there was a car crash, there was a toxic waste spillage, and he lost his sight. But as a result of this, all his other senses became incredibly enhanced, and he became an amazing superhero. You know, he was able to read with his fingertips because other blind people can't do that. You know, Daniel Kish, like the Daredevil, can actually he's got human echolocation. He can make like clicking sounds and hearing the echo come back. He can actually picture a room. There's an amazing TED talk from him where he goes out and trains other blind people to master these skills, and they can lead more active lives as a result. But in the TED talk, he has an audience. He gets them to all raise their hands, and then he asks some sort of question. He says, those of you that this question applies to, lower your hands. And he's able to judge how many people, roughly, you know, percentage-wise, how many people in the room have just lowered their hands. And he's genuinely blind.
This is partly down to plasticity of the brain, though, isn't it? Because the way, if we lose senses, the other senses start effectively almost invading that part of the neural tissue to take over.
Which does
mean that people who are blind literally do hear the world in a different way.
And it's, the brain is basically able to remap, and he describes what he can see, and it is basically sonar. You know, he's able to get this sort of picture in his mind of what the room is like.
Does he then have like a richer sound experience in general? So, for example, could he talk to dolphins?
No, I don't know if they can talk back.
Why would you want to talk to dolphins?
Dolphins are arseholes. Dolphins are arseholes.
I will back you up on this.
You should talk to arseholes.
But go on, tell us why.
Well,
why, in your opinion, what has a dolphin ever done to you?
Dolphins have been known to be bullying each other and participate in gang rape. And we all go and praise Fungi down in Derry, in Dingle, in Kerry. And actually, he's an arsehole.
We praise Fungi?
Have you not gone down
to
Dingle? This is all Kerry has to offer, is that island that they did the Star Wars on, and a dolphin. They're all arseholes.
You're just lucky that the internet hasn't reached them yet, so you're fine.
Yeah, no, it's on the way.
There's a lot more Kerry people in this room than I realise, isn't there?
I don't see any hands going
on. No. It's a lovely place, actually, if you get a chance. And dolphins, true enough, they're great to watch, but they are horrible. And the reason we know that they're intelligent is because they're horrible, actually. Because they've got all the worst things that mankind do, and they do it as well. Yeah. Anyway, so that's the kind of news which is actually going on. That's the things you're finding in the real world right now. But let's turn it up a notch. Our guests here have come up with ideas of their own, things that they would like to see in the next phase of our evolution. Let's start with you, Trina. What do you fancy?
I'm actually really selfish, and you may or may not hear, but I have a bit of a head cold, and I regularly get a full-blown head cold. And one of my favourite things in this world is food. Those of you at home can't see me, but I'm a round, happy lady. And that's possibly because I really enjoy eating food, and food is very much about taste. But when you taste food, you don't just simply taste it with your tongue. It goes through your nose as well, and there's a lot of kind of aromatic sort of receptors in your nose that suddenly allows you to taste things. But when you have a head cold, that all goes away and you can't taste very well. And if you're really unlucky, it completely goes away and you can taste nothing. I do recall having one of the best textured toasted cheese sandwiches of my life. I know it was filled with butter and cheddar and it was particularly nice bread, but all I can remember of it is the texture. And I would love that if I had some olfactory receptors in my mouth as well as in my nose, it would allow me to be able to taste things when I have a cold, because let's be honest, curing the common cold now, that's way out there. But having olfactory receptors in my mouth would be much more achievable.
Can I add to this then, actually, perhaps as a different notion, because octopuses have got olfactory sensors in their arms. So why, like, wouldn't pick and mix be an amazing experience?
Oh, yeah, but they... Around? Yeah, no, we have to charge you for tasting the sweets as you're collecting them.
Now, I'm going to throw up an anatomical problem here, though, because if your olfactory receptors are wired into your brain through these little olfactory lobes that sort of just run up the top of your nose, I mean, you really would have to reroute those babies down past your sinuses and then into the top of your mouth, in which case, if you got a cold, that might interrupt them anyway, because that would get all inflamed and would block the...
Oh, I experience. Already hate my sinuses. That's fine. We could get them removed or something.
Drill them out.
Filled in.
If you can smell... You're basically saying you want to be able to smell with your mouth.
As well as my nose, ideally.
Okay, but is morning breath going to be a problem?
I think you would reach a point where you you get this kind of saturation effect sometimes with smells. So sometimes you smell something. A prime example, so I'm a delightful lady and I don't fart, but sometimes farts happen. And do you ever go to bed and you're farting like an absolute champion? And at some point you have to go to the toilet and you come back into the room and you're like, oh my God, what died in here? And some of that's this kind of overloading of your olfactory receptors early on. They get burnt out. So I don't think morning face is going to be an issue, because all through the night my face would be going, morning face is accumulating, ignoring that, ignoring that, ignoring that.
It's a funny thing, actually, as well, the way your nose works for these films, because not only does it overload, but it also, you smell things sequentially. So, like, if we saw two colours together and there's sufficient distance, they turn into a blur. They blur together. If we hear certain sounds together, they'll eventually blur into sounds. You don't blur smell. So if you have two smells competing, you smell one and then the other. They're separated by time. And that's the way that your brain interprets it.
It's the cocktail effect for smell. Cocktail effect, the audio thing of if you're at a cocktail party and there's the general hubbub, but someone is speaking, you can zero in and focus on the individual conversation. So although sound does blur, we have the ability to tune in to sounds like that.
I thought you were going to tell me something about Tom Cruise. That was really odd.
That's a different effect.
But can you have olfactory illusions in the same way as you can have visual illusions?
Apparently.
And
olfactory hallucinations are a thing, and I've heard that they're associated with neurological disorders and stuff.
There's something, I think it might be a... is it the plague where you smell toast before you die?
Is that not just a stroke?
Rachel, edit this if this is wrong. There's a couple of diseases you get strange smells before they afflict
you. In epilepsy, you can get you can hallucinate. Some people hallucinate smells before they enter into a seizure as part of the aura of the epileptic fit. So you get that. That's activity in the brain.
Oh, that'd be awful. Like, where you go, oh, Stilton, I'm about to have a fit.
Yeah, quite genuinely.
Wow. And I think bad smells are usually the more associated thing than good smells. So it's not, I like Stilton, yay, Stilton. It's, oh my God, cheese is going to make me, oh.
Okay, so smells in the mouth, and you had a caveat to that. What was it?
And I get to keep them in my nose as well.
Okay. You were not... Yeah, all right.
I'm greedy. I like to eat things and smell things. And
so why don't you just eat with your nose? Like, why don't you just go around snorting bacon?
I think we're back to the why I can't inhale my dribble and continue breathing.
Fair point. Okay, that's a good pitch. We'll take that one forward. Shane, what have you come up with?
Well, mine is not entirely unrelated to that, actually, because... during our human evolution, you were saying that taste helps us to avoid things and tells us what not to go near. But actually, to a large extent, taste also tells us what we want and what we actually want to have. And this is leaving aside the olfactory receptors altogether. And one of the big tastes that we have is the taste for sweet. So when we were out hunting around in the rainforest or wherever we happened to be, we'd be eking out our existence. We'd be eating the occasional insect and I'd be scurrying around looking for roots and things. And it's a fairly basic kind of diet. But let's say we stumbled across a great big hive full of bees and we swat away the bees and we managed to find some way of avoiding them and getting past the problems that they throw at us. We get this huge amount of honey that is beautiful and sweet and we gorge ourselves on the honey. We take it back to the tribe. Everybody slams down this honey, honey, honey. One more.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com.
Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Calories, calories, calories. And we build up these calories, and then that keeps us going until the next time that we get something like that.
Yeah.
So we've evolved through episodes of large starvation. The people who want to crave as much of this carbohydrate as possible are the ones who are going to survive. So we've evolved to have this craving after sugar. That's an issue that's causing a problem for us now in the modern world, because sugar is not exactly the hardest thing to come across, but it's now doing us a lot of damage because we're getting it all the time. It's giving us type 2 diabetes, and it's causing obesity and various other problems. It's causing type 2 diabetes, as I mentioned. So it's and rotting our teeth. So it's a big problem. We could use the newest genetic technology of the CRISPR-Cas9 pathway, which is worth a wee look up.
You just threw that in. Go on, tell us more about it.
So CRISPR-Cas9 actually is going to win a Nobel Prize and probably several Nobel Prizes in the very near future. It's only been discovered in the last couple of years. In the bacteria. Bacteria have an immune system. Did you know that?
What are they immune to?
Viruses.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Bacteria, I mean, it's like big fleas of little fleas upon their backs to bite them, etc. Bacteria have viruses that infect them and cause them quite serious problems. But what they can do using this system called CRISPR-Cas9 is they can break up the viral DNA, insert it into their own DNA, make complementary strands of RNA that recognize any new viral DNA that comes in, recruit in enzymes that then say, oh, right, there's something going on here, latch onto the viral DNA and break down the viral DNA or RNA, and thereby render that bacterium immune and its descendant bacteria immune to that virus. And it's an amazing thing. But we've been able to take that technology, change it around, and then use that to precisely edit individual letters of DNA. So out of those 6 billion letters of DNA that we have floating around inside our cells,
there's only three. DNA.
We change it to DNB or something. So we can individually edit these letters, so we can change genes at a very, very precise level. And in fact, the Human Fertilization and Embryology Authority have recently given the go-ahead to start doing this with human embryos, not for reproduction, but for research. So what I would be proposing is that we use the CRISPR-Cas9 technology to change the receptors in our tongues so that we don't taste sweet as much, or even better than that, the sorts of tastes of the things that are good for us, our lettuces and our broccoli or whatever they've got, suddenly taste absolutely wonderful.
So do you want to turn us into reverse hummingbirds?
Yeah.
Is that the plan?
Sort of mucking birds.
Mucking. Yeah. Rather than...
Yeah.
Reverse hummingbirds. We're running low on time anyway, so we have to go get cracking. Those are suggestions from our panel. But of course, we also have the brains here in our audience at the Black Box, as part of Northern Ireland Science Festival. What ideas have these guys given you? Tell us, please, Matthew.
There was one or two similar suggestions. One is a television reference. It just says, I want Bernard's watch. There's a laugh of recognition for people who have grown up
who
in the same
Bernard?
Era as me. Bernard's Watch was a TV show in the 90s. He was a little kid. He inherited a pocket watch from his grandfather or something like that. But when he pushed the button, it was like a stopwatch, and time stopped. And he could do whatever he wanted. He could move things around and do whatever, and then restart time whenever. So he had complete control. It caused a lot of debate among people as to whether, if he stopped it for a long time, would he continue to age? And all sorts of weird things about, you know, the time paradoxes
this
of that
sounds,
show.
Strangely like physics, and therefore I don't care.
This is okay. Well, someone else who also Dave Powell here, he said he wanted the ability to slow down time, which is similar, but you don't care about physics, so that's fine.
No, it's fine.
Dave had a second suggestion as well. He said, I want the ability to slow down time or bigger hands. So, so is that better?
Dave, are you in the audience and willing to talk to us? Would you mind getting a microphone to that man? Because I will have to actually, for a start, I want to look at your hands. Dave, what will you do with your big hands?
Well, they're both sort of related, because I'm a juggler, so both of them would help me.
So, okay, the thing that we do know you could perhaps alter is your perception of time. That is something that it seems to be. There's lots of pharmaceuticals and lots of chemicals, and recreational ones even, which I believe will alter the perception of time. Is that right? I know they're doing research on people, psychonauts, narconauts, is that the word for people who do lucid dreaming? Oh. And they kept wondering for a long time if Inception was right and was Dreamtime different, and it doesn't appear to be. But there may be ways of like altering and learning to change your perception of time. That could be a thing. As regards the hands, though, would everybody please give Dave a big hand for helping us out? I will pretend that they were applauding my pun there. What about you, Shane? What's caught your eye from these guys?
Well, there was one here on the hand theme. There's someone, Niall.
Hands are not a theme. It doesn't have to be. Well,
while we're here, he said more thumbs, and I'm not opposed to that.
Actually, this may please you to know, again, we've got proof of principle here. Koalas have two thumbs on each hand, so everything is a double thumbs up from them. They're the most positive creatures imaginable, eh? And very good at hitchhiking. Okay, more opposable thumbs. Where? They don't have to be in your hands.
On your elbows, maybe, or something. You could stick them on there.
Where would you have an extra thumb if you could have one?
I think on the hand still, but on the other side.
Because I'd go for my toes, actually. I think I'd go again full orangutan. If you look at orangutans, it's like they've got four hands rather than having hands and feet.
Okay. But then you'd have trouble wearing shoes all day.
But you could wear gloves.
Yeah, but then they're not going to get the glass on the streets and the crunchy things.
You'd swing gloves.
Metal gauntlets, like chainmail gloves. People use that. I've got a mate, he goes diving with Humboldt squid, and they have to use their special gloves made for butchers to handle these things. This is a real thing, honestly. Oh, fine audience. I didn't like it either.
The other thing that I was just going back to the testicles again was someone, Jim has said that a protective rib cage around the testicles.
You can buy those in sports shops.
An interesting thing. And then, but then Emma, to kind of come back to that, Emma says that we should have more sterility and a shorter lifespan because we're the worst, and then it'll be heart.
Oh.
And
actually, before we move on here, it is a question, actually. Again, if there's anybody in the audience who knows this, I have always wondered why. Because a kick in the nuts is properly debilitating, and there are a few creatures out there which have learned. The honey badger is so dangerous because it's one of the few animals that has learned to go for the testicles. Not even a joke.
In all species, or when it attacks humans?
I think it's like lions and things specifically. Have any of you, do you know what a honey badger is? Imagine a badger with attitude, like more attitude. Do you know all this idea of like culling for TB? Right, the badgers, if they were honey badgers, would fight back. Don't let the sweet name make you think that they're kind of nice. No, so yeah, there are creatures out there which do know to go for the testicles. I do wonder, why do we have something which is sort of so precious for the continuation of our species in such a vulnerable place?
There is a reason for that, and the reason for that is that the testicles don't function at 37 degrees C very well, so they have to be kept a little bit cooler than the rest of the body. So over the course of evolution, as humans have warmed up a little bit, well, as say our ancestors as well have warmed up, the testicles move down, and embryologically our testes are actually inside the abdomen. They're well up there near the kidneys, and they move down during our development into this convenient little flap that's made out of, I think Billy Connolly reckoned, spare elbow skin that contains them outside. So they're actually designed to be a little bit cooler. But I would have thought, with our level up human abilities, that we'd be able to find some other way of cooling them down and keeping them inside. And
so how about that? As an edit, Jim, rather than having a rib cage around it, why not just have testicles that function at body temperature?
High temperature.
Tepid testicles. Yeah.
Toasty testicles.
Toasty testicles.
Yeah. All right. Toasticles.
Toasticles is on the list. Finally, Trina, what caught your eye?
So, first thing that caught my eye is someone who wrote in a green pen and remains anonymous for good reason. Less wisdom teeth. We have dentists to sort that out for you. We don't need to evolve to that one.
Oh.
And take some painkillers. You'll be fine. And the next one I think we should get Emma up for. Emma's keen on that we should have suckers like an octopus.
Don't let her read it.
There might be more than one Emma in here.
So we can edit that out, though. God, thank you. Thanks. Do you mind being on our podcast?
Emma, would you?
Can we get a microphone?
I'm just checking
nice
the
here.
Handwriting here to make sure this is a different Emma, because I think it's a
You see, because there's multiple Emmas, you see, in a room statistic.
She's standing up. It's definitely this one. She's keen. You made two suggestions. Oh, you can stay. Perfect.
So I'm interested in your octopus one.
Please, Emma, tell us your suggestion.
I was thinking of having like suckers, like on octopus tentacles, or maybe like I could settle for Velcro for like climbing, or the sound effects when you like peel them off, or so I'd spill my tea less.
You see, this is a fantastic
But I also
suggestion.
Thought sterility I could do with.
Are those two things connected?
No. I just thought for my other one, like I'd settle. Either make us better or just kind of just.
Okay,
just
can we
dwell
on this for just 1 second? Because like the octopus testicles, we're testicles.
Opticals.
The octopus suckers on the tentacles. We'll come back to that one in a second. But first of all, why?
I'm so glad you got that right.
Yeah. Why are you so keen to make us all sterile?
Oh no, I just thought because you know there's like so many of us and other creatures probably could get a chance now.
So you think mankind, you've had your time, give the gorillas a go.
Global warming, yo. I'm just like, we could either like use less electricity or we could just die out, I think.
Level down, human.
Game over, human.
I take issue with that because like I love humans. Some of my friends are humans even. It's really... No, because like...
Yeah, so do I, but then I wouldn't be there, so it wouldn't really matter. Be all right.
Okay, now back to the...
back to the octopus.
Or
back to the
suckers. External storage? Those are my top three, I think.
External storage for what, sorry?
Yeah, for like memories and stuff. You know,
oh,
just,
you mean like a backup?
Or
off-site backup.
And then,
oh,
yeah,
yes.
Like an SD card, and you could just
And you could then
online.
Forget where it was. I don't know where my keys are, and it's on my USB key, and I don't know where that is.
I'd really worry about this, actually, because, well, for a start, I suppose the actual answer is forget the SD card. Like, we'll all be in the cloud, as people keep pretending. So our head could literally be in the cloud. But actually, if we're going to have this idea, the thing that worries me is, again, technology's not always perfect. Like, what if I was wanting to cook lasagna and then have to wait half an hour for buffering because I can't remember how to do these things? Give Emma a massive round of applause. Thank you. I do take issue with the suckers and the octopuses, though, because just they are not the best thing out there. What you want is gecko feet if you want to stick to things. Yeah, they've got incredible abilities to stick to stuff.
They can't stick to frying pans, unlike scrambled egg.
Is that true?
That's true. Teflon is one of the few things that geckos can't stick to.
So you've tried frying a gecko?
That wouldn't be ethical to fry it, but to throw it out of a frying pan would technically be ethical.
Wow. You learn something new every day, Craigie. So, we had there suckers and sticking to stuff. Is that all her suggestions? For the
she had off-site storage for memory as well.
Oh, off-site. You did a lot of good, man. Crikey.
I think we bring Emma back.
Yeah, we might actually add some of those ideas if they get cut out into our... We've got a special post-bag edition coming up. Yeah, because, like, in our futuristic world, post-bags still exist. Okay, we've had some suggestions here from our audience. Now let's take some suggestions from the animal kingdom. Ladies and gents, what would you steal from these creatures? First of all, we have a fig wasp. Matthew, can you describe this to our people at home?
It's like a wasp with a giraffe's neck behind it.
Yeah, that's right. What you're looking at there, that long sort of wiry thing, that is its ovipositor. That might be a clue to its special abilities.
It's like a scorpion?
It's kind of even more incredible. It turns out that this has got a drill bit topped with zinc on the bottom of its ovipositor for getting all the way through into figs.
Wow.
Does everybody know how fig wasps reproduce?
They lay their eggs inside of figs, and then you eat the figs.
More or less, yeah.
And then they burst out of your chest in the middle of a sci-fi movie.
No, but that would be a great parody, actually, wouldn't it? But
so
this is the one for
Stinger.
Level Up Wasp.
Yeah,
its stinger is metallic.
It's ovipositor.
Okay, but it's made of
its
metal.
Its lady parts have a really sharp end to them.
And that's like naturally occurring metal.
Yeah, it has zinc tipped drill
it's
bit.
Wolverine the wasp.
Yeah, that's the fact that Wolverine is unhelpfully named after an animal makes that.
Sorry, Wolverine the superhero with the metallic skeleton and claws.
One of the things that really. Ticks me off about biology is how biologists keep having no inventiveness in naming things and calling all animals after other animals, like elephant seal. Like that's useful for learning. An elephant shrew. God. Anyway.
They do it on cell receptors.
Is there a shrew elephant?
No, but if they're that would be so cute.
It'd be lovely.
Okay, that's our first suggestion. The female fig wasp with its zinc-tipped drill bit. What about this one? Here we have some coral. What would you steal from coral?
I definitely wouldn't steal its ability to be bleached by ocean acidification. I do not want to be bleached by ocean acidification, please.
What is ocean acidification?
That's so we've all this extra CO2 knocking around the atmosphere, and when that mixes up with water, you get carbonic acid, which is an acid, and water, there's an awful lot of it in the ocean, there's a lot of CO2 in the air, and it dissolves in it. You actually lower the pH of the sea, and basically you're making this really dilute bleach that the corals aren't very happy about, and a lot of sea life isn't very happy about.
So the bleach is ammonia, though.
When we say bleach, we mean something that cleans or changes the colour of things. Because actually, you can get hypochlorites of bleach.
Oh, okay.
So like, there's different types of bleach, not just Domestos. But the poor corals, anyway, they're not dealing too well with this high acid. And on top of which, they're basically made out of limestone. So any of you who remember being told about acid rain in geography were told that the Burren was going to go away, or other sorts of limestone-based landscapes around the world.
It had gone away, isn't it? Is it still there?
No, they put a visitor centre in its back.
Well, the thing I'd like to steal from these, personally, it turns out that corals make their own sunscreen. There are scientists who are trying to make a pill from coral chemicals, and you swallow it on those 2 days a year that the weather's nice, rather than putting on sunscreen. So you make your own. Apparently, it'll be available within 5 years, says an article that I read 5 years ago. Yeah, so you can actually make this. And finally, we have this one. It's called Greening's Frog. Can you describe this to the people at home, please, Shane?
I have to say, Simon, this is possibly the most beautiful frog I've seen in a very long time.
We have not talked enough. I love frogs. Frogs are the best creatures in the world. I've got an entire show about them, and that is not a pretty frog compared to some others.
He or she has got these enormous, great big eyes with a sort of rhomboidal pupil in them, and a big, long snout on them, and then a mouth that looks a bit like a shark's mouth.
This, ladies and gents, this is the first ever venomous frog that has been discovered recently. The thing that's incredible is if you look there at its eyebrows, you can see it's kind of got these little spiky bits kind of poking up from the top of its head and from its skull. That means that it literally headbutts its prey to death.
Whoa.
And it turns out it's not found in Glasgow, it's from Brazil. It has a venom which a single gram could kill 80 humans, one of the most potent venoms we've come across.
So how much, each particular frog then, how many milligrams does it have on his eyebrows?
How many headbutts in this case? And that, I'm afraid, I don't know. Love also the fact that this can kill over 300,000 mice. And you kind of think the scientist who just killed 299,000 mice, he should have just given up about that point
but you want to keep going. It's like whenever you're driving or something, you want to see the number go up, so you probably have kept on going just that extra mouse just to get the dial up.
So that is our suggestions from nature. Now, Matthew, as you are the judge for this evening, so you're going to have to take forward one of these ideas, and we'll take them back to our evolution committee, so to speak. So what we've had, well, first of all, Trina has made a suggestion that we have smell in the mouth and also keeping it in the nose. Shana suggested that we gene edit our taste buds to make us like broccoli. Dave wants big hands. And somebody out there wants opposable thumbs. Actually, why don't we copy those together? Because if you had really big hands, you've got more room for more thumbs.
Yeah.
Why not? I don't know what we're going to do with that. We're all going to go full koala, aren't we, one of these days? I do love it. It's a creature basically built for cuddling. But, you do also know, never cuddle a koala. They're dying out because of a massive outbreak of chlamydia. True story. Did you know, 2 years ago, some of the guys from One Direction, when they came back from tour being in Australia, got themselves tested because they thought they'd caught chlamydia from a koala?
And that's what they
said. That's their story.
Nothing dodgy happened. If you must know, it peed on them, proven if nothing else, the koalas have got quite good taste in music. But, that's kind of true. And then we had a ribcage around the testicles, or making testicles operate at a sensible temperature. And then we had suckers of an octopus, and letting humans die in general. It got a bit dark there for a second. What do you think? Did any of these catch your eye in particular? Would you like to see in our next human?
The pun on toasticles was incredible. that was, but then if you're sticking in the reproductive range. We had the wasp with the Wolverine ovipositor. I've learned a new word. And then...
Oh, yeah, and I didn't explain it. That'd be useful. It's the thing it uses to stick in its eggs.
Yes. But the naturally occurring metal in nature, I didn't know that was possible. That's what I like.
You want to be able to steal zinc everywhere?
I want...
Do you just want blinged up humans?
Yeah, I want to like consume loads of zinc and not get zinc poisoning, but instead get metal...
Would you not just
genitals.
Line you up as a...
You've thought that through, haven't you?
People Condom. Would start abusing you to be a zinc refinery, you know, and you'd be pissing out really bad metals then because you're only trying to keep the zinc for them to collect.
If you needed zinc, would you chop the little ovipositors off? You know, you collect the zinc and then find that and use that in industrial applications.
I'm just imagining you peeing out ball bearings.
Worse than kidney stones. Oh. No, I don't want the ovipositor anymore. It's the toasticles.
Toasticles. I should point out again, there is proof of principle here. We do know that, say, elephants, for instance, they do keep their testicles more far in, but the place where they store the sperm, they keep close to the outside of their body for exactly the same reasons. Ooh. So alternatives do exist. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you heard it first. Testicles that work at body temperature and can be kept inside, that is going forward. We're going to put that into the gene bank. If you're wondering what a gene bank is, it's a lot like a normal bank, except it's filled with DNA rather than capitalist pig dogs. Before we go, I'd love you to give a round of applause to our wonderful guests. We've had Trina O'Connell, we've had Shane, and we've also had Matthew. Give them a massive round of applause, and our guests... and the audience here at the Black Box Theatre... and all the wonderful people at Northern Ireland Science Festival. Yay. I've been Simon Watt. Have a good night. It's been lovely talking to you all.
That was Level Up Human, hosted by Simon Watt, produced by Rachel Wheely, and supported by the Wellcome Trust. For more information, go to leveluphuman.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.